I know I'm gonna get got. But I'm gonna get mine more than I get got, though.
What is good, guys? Welcome back. This is episode 22 of Lock It or Leave It. Another great week coming up. Florida State basketball plays today. Play Miami at 8:30, so a lot of fake money is going on that. We are recording this podcast on Wednesday, February 24th. I'm your host, Jay, and joining me as usual is my co-host, Cam. What's going on, man?
What's up, Jay? As you just said, we got Miami tonight, big game, another ACC opponent. We got to keep that streak alive. Even though it's on the road, I still like us tonight. And we got another great episode coming up. Let's get it.
Yeah, absolutely. So let me just throw it right over to your boy right next to you. Chad, how you doing, man? What's going on?
Doing well, man. FSU basketball is trucking away. They're doing their thing. A little scary, I think, last game it was, right? When Scotty did that. But we're trucking. We're doing well. I'm excited.
Yeah, absolutely. We hopped from number 17 to number 11, so it's only up from here for FSU basketball. More guests coming. But let me hop to you, Floyd. How you doing, Dylan? How you doing?
Doing well, fellas. You know, we're number 11, but we should be top 10. But other than that, I'm looking forward to today's content, and I'm ready to get into it.
Absolutely. So before I introduce my guest, last but not least, we'll go to Aaron. What's going on, Aaron? How are you?
I'm having a great week, ready for this game today. Last time we played Miami, we beat them by, 25? So I expect a lot of the same. Expect a blowout, hammer the spread in Minecraft money, of course. Let's get into this content.
Yeah, man, perfect. So without further ado, let me introduce our special guest for today. This is one of the best kickers for Florida State, and he set many collegiate records that won't be touched in the record books for the foreseeable future. Let me introduce Ricky Aguayo. What's going on, man? How you doing?
What's up, fellas? I'm doing good, man. Happy to be on here.
Yeah, man. Thanks again for just hopping on, and we're going to talk about your whole experience at FSU, and we'll get all into it. But before that, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. So stay tuned. All right, man. So let's go back before Florida State, pre-college. You attended IMG Academy, and you kind of followed in the footsteps of your brother, Roberto Aguayo. You were ranked as the third best kicker coming out of the class of 2016. So my question to you is, being a top five kicker in your class led to you receiving many offers from big D1 football programs. With that being said, was Florida State a done deal from the start? If not, what other colleges were giving you offers, and what ultimately led you to becoming a Florida State Seminole?
Yeah, man. No, IMG was a great experience. I'm glad I took that leap. Honestly, it was kind of weird because I went to Montverde Academy before that, the big basketball school, and I was there the first year that they introduced football, right? And since it's a big basketball and soccer school, like we were three and done. So like after my junior year, they're like, we're discontinuing football. And I was just like, damn, like where do I go next? So I got in contact with a couple of my Pop Warner coaches, and we got the IMG deal done with Chris Winkie. But he ended up leaving. I don't know. I think he went pro to coach pro, but I was able to go my senior year. So I finished that off, man, and that's when the college recognition started coming in, because there are so many coaches coming in and just watching, like, Shea Patterson and everybody, and they're able to watch me kick. But, man, it was good. Yeah, like you said, my brother was there at Florida State he redshirted 2012 and ended up leaving early in 2015. So I was there. I mean, I met Coach Odell because he was one of the OGs that stayed there until I was there. So I met him when I was like in eighth grade, like seventh grade, bro. So like I had this connection with him. And so when I went to IMG, I started getting other interests. And man, I'm not gonna lie, when I took that Auburn visit and I met Coach Malzahn and everything, I was like, oh wait, because I was set on Florida State from the start. I mean, no doubt, I had a great relationship with Coach Fisher and all the coaching staff there. Like I said. But, man, Auburn had the – when I met Coach Malzahn, I was just like – my parents loved him. My brother ended up going on a visit with me. We went to their spring game. But ultimately, man, I really sat down, and I love Tallahassee. My parents, we were so familiar with the city, with the coaches, with Coach Fisher's staff at that point. And ultimately, I knew that I wanted to keep the legacy going in Tallahassee. So that's kind of what led me to committing to Florida State.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit about your Florida State debut. In your first game for the Seminoles, you started off 6-for-6 from field goals in the season opener. It was an incredible feat against the Rebels that not only set an FSU record for the most field goals made in a single game, but also a collegiate record for the most debuts, for the most field goals in a debut for a kicker, and are tied for the most field goals by a freshman in college football history. Your performance in that game directly impacted a 22 comeback victory against Ole Miss, making it the largest come-from-behind victory in Florida State history. Rewatching some of the highlights from that game was crazy, but one of my main takeaways was just like the atmosphere in that building was crazy, and the crowd was just deafening. Can you talk about your mindset just a little bit and how it felt to contribute to such a big win?
Yeah, dude, for sure. No, it's funny because I was actually having this conversation the other day with one of my guys here that I trained with in Birmingham. And it was just like, when I went out there, I had no pregame routine. So I went out there in Camping World and I just like, and the specialists go out first to warm up. And I just kind of like looked around and I was like, dude, this is it. Like, this is what I've been wanting. I had no idea what to do. I had no idea when to kick or like, went to start getting lives with the snapper and the holder. So I remember I was just out there just like throwing with some of the EQ guys and I was like, yo. And then Stephen Gabbard that at the time was my long snapper. He was a little bit older, so he kind of got me in the routine and he was like, oh, Ricky, we kick this time, we warm up with team at this time. So he kind of got me in the loop, man. But it was like of so many emotions, bro. Like just like of being there. I was so young. I was 18 at the time. And it was just crazy. But it was so surreal. But I remember that first field goal, bro, taking my steps back and I was just like looking around and I was like, damn, this is it. So like I was closely focused on my field goal. I ended up making it. But it was just like, dude, it was just like so surreal, like I said. But nah, DeAndre at quarterback, he also helped a lot. But that was a come from behind win that I'll never forget.
Yeah, man, absolutely. So kind of going off that, you went 6-for-6 from field goals, and I kind of wanted to compare it to basketball because a lot of basketball players say that when they get the hot hand, it's kind of like throwing a ball in the ocean where you kind of just see the target as so wide and everything is going in. Would you say it's the same for kicking where you kind of see the first few go in and think, there's no fucking way I'm missing for the rest of the night? You feel me?
Dude, yes, it's very similar, man. It's like once you start like on a hot streak, and especially like if you have chip shots at the beginning of the game, like under 35, and you get like 2 or 3 under your belt, like you start like it creates this momentum, and like you don't have those thoughts like coming off the sideline after a miss. You like those thoughts are completely blocked out. You're thinking about your routine and what you just did, so you go out there and do that again after time. And you know it's gonna work. So like when I went out for my it was my third field goal, it was a 40-yarder. It was a little bit farther, but it was just like, okay, this is the same routine. I just do the same thing that I did on those chip shots. And I wasn't even caught up in the moment, dude. Like those field goals were huge because we were losing by a large margin in the first half. So like those were important kicks. Like, and Coach Fisher was trusting me to go out there and put 3 on the board because he could have easily went for the first down, which kind of would have made sense in that circumstance. But just the trust that he had in me and all that, it's just like, just going out there, I knew what I had to do, but like, I wasn't caught up in the moment. I wasn't like, okay, damn, this is like a huge field goal. But so I just went out there and like did my thing, like I said, on the first few chip shots. And it's kind of like you said, like you're on a roll and dude, that thing's like an ocean. So you're right.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So having that as your debut, doing that well, did that kind of help you for the rest of your career, the rest of your freshman season, saying, if I did this well my first game, that kind of gives you the confidence to just keep on going and producing for the rest of the season? How did that help you out?
Yeah, dude. No, I wish I would have took that more in that game. Like, I wish I would have took it in more, like, let it sink in. Because after that, because I remember after the game, like, I went out for the buses and literally all the fans were just like, I saw my brother and my brother was like, dude, do you know what just happened? And I'm just like, I'm so young and like, this is my first game. And I was kind of just like, I was a gym, bro. Like, I was so young. I was like, I just did what I had to do. But at that point, I wish I would have let it sink in more and be like, okay, if I do that and handle those details, And like, maybe if I had, I have a journal now, but I didn't have a journal back then, and journal those, that week of what I did each day, how I prepared. But like it goes back to like my pregame routine, bro. Like, I didn't really have a routine since that was my first game. But no, it did propel me. Like, I stepped into my collegiate career on the right foot. And yeah, I'm glad that game happened, because like I said, it just helped me step on the right foot into my collegiate career.
You know, starting on the right foot, I want to talk a little bit about going to the Orange Bowl, because that's something that in 2016 we were able to do, and we had a pretty stacked team, as you obviously would know. We had Dalvin, I mean, Auden Tate, Derwin James is out there. So when you're talking about a team as deep as that, dude, it was a great squad. So when you talk about guys like that, how did they not only help you kind of build that confidence and understand what team success meant, but just how did they develop the whole team around you? How did it all come together in that kind of locker room, that kind of talent?
Yeah, dude. I mean, we had a squad back then, bro. It was insane. And what's crazy about the team back then is that I noticed was it, everybody got held accountable. It doesn't matter if like for example, like Dalvin and Travis Rudolph were boys, but like when it came down to it, Dalvin wouldn't be afraid to call Travis out on things that he didn't do right, or like DeAndre and Auden Tate the same way, like vice versa, they would call each other out. And that's when I took notice, like, okay, this team is for real. Like, these are what this is what's going to get us to that New Year's Six Bowl. Because I remember after the USF game, I think it was week 3, we ended up winning the game like 50-some, but they put 34, 35 on us. And like, everybody came in the locker room, and I remember Dalvin came in, and he was just, I mean, man, he was ripping us a new one, because he was like, y'all think like that's going to fly? You think that's good? Like, having USF put 35 on us is going to win us the national championship? And then that's when I kind of was like, okay, like the standard here is for real. And then Coach Fisher came in and, you know, gave us a speech as well. He was angry. He was like, but that's Florida State, you know, that's what we're going to be at in a few years. The standard is so high to where we blow teams out, but at the same time, we don't let them get past 10 points. And that is the standard. So yeah, man, dude, we're stacked back then. And those, like I said, those little things like accountability, execution, and all those things is what led us to that Orange Bowl season.
Yeah, so you talked about some of your teammates at Florida State, but which of your teammates or coaches would you say had the biggest impact on you as a player and as a man in your growth here at Florida State?
Coaches, I would definitely say Coach Fisher. I would definitely say Coach Fisher had a huge impact. Because like I said, when I was a kid, I came in as a true freshman. Like, I didn't redshirt, so I was still young and coming in, and at practice, if I would have a bad practice or whatever, he wouldn't be, and it would be with any player, he wouldn't be afraid to, you know, bring it up and like call you out in front of the team, in front of the group and stuff. And it was more like, I would describe, like, I was on the field, he was a coach, and he was more of a father figure than he was a coach. So yeah, I think Coach Fisher had a great impact on me maturing at Florida State.
Yeah, man. So we had another guest on. We had Terrence Mann and Sadar Calhoun on, both players for the basketball team. They kind of said the same thing about Leonard Hamilton, how he held them accountable. He would always tell them when they did something wrong, but also it wasn't just about your play on the field. It was about becoming a better man and, you know, working and getting a career for yourself. So with that being said, Chad, what's your question?
Yeah, so in the 2016 Orange Bowl, you went 2-for-2 on your field goal attempts and 3-for-4 on extra points, with the only reason of you missing it was because it got blocked. Can you take us through your experience playing in that game and winning against number 6 ranked Michigan?
Yeah, man, it was awesome. That week that we had down there in Miami, we stayed at the Diplomat. I think it was in Hollywood. Dude, it was so much fun, bro. We, like, for the bowl games, we go a couple days earlier. So we got activities, like Coach Fisher rented us jet skis on the water and all that, the whole deal. So it was fun, man. And then it all led up to the game, bro. And number 7, Michigan. I don't know what we were ranked. I think we were ranked number 10, Florida State, bro. And it was just for all the marbles. And we were going at it because I remember – I think they had that one linebacker. He was like a hybrid guy. I think it was Jordan Lewis or something like that.
Was it Jabril Peppers?
And the whole – the big match. Jabril Peppers. Yeah. I think they had Jordan Lewis at cornerback too.
Okay, yeah.
That's who Nooney caught the touchdown pass over.
Oh, yeah.
And it was always, okay, Jabril Peppers against Dalvin, Jordan Lewis against Florida State's wide receivers. So there's so much hype going in. And, you know, yeah, like you said, those two field goals going in were clutch towards the end. You know, because it was such a tight game. But, man, that was one of the – honestly, probably that and Ole Miss and a couple of others were definitely top five games that I've had in my career.
Yeah, man, I have one distinct memory from that game, and it's actually kind of funny. It was when at the end of the game in the fourth quarter, I forgot who was taking the ball out. It was a kick return. And the teammate next to him said, "Don't take it out. Don't take it out. Just knee it." And he still ran, broke a tackle, went 60 yards off rip. Put us in great field position to start it off. Well, that's one of my great memories to start off that game. But Aaron, let's just start with you and take us into the next one.
Yeah, so the very next season, you had a big year. 2017, led the ACC in field goal percentage, hit 86% of your kicks. Also tied a single game record with 11 made extra points in a game against Delaware State. Got us bowl eligible. There's a big controversy there, but got the W. So your performance and leadership in 2017 led you to being named a team captain in 2018. What did it mean for you to be named team captain, knowing that your teammates and the staff and the coaches trusted you with the leadership role for such a prestigious program like FSU?
Yeah, man, no, it was huge. It was huge being named because we had a voting system there when Coach Fisher left and Coach Taggart came in. So being voted as a team captain twice by my peers was huge. And I didn't take that responsibility lightly, you know, because I know what comes with that from the team captains in the previous years. So I was just honored just being a team captain with the other two guys. And it was fun. It was fun being named a team captain by my peers and all that, the good ordeal.
Yeah, so you mentioned the difference between Jimbo and Taggart with the captain voting system. What other differences did you notice between coaches at FSU?
I would say Coach Fisher, I mean, they're both great dudes. They're both great coaches. I think Coach Fisher was more of a, I would describe him more of a, not meaner say, but like he would get in your grill and he wouldn't be afraid. Like he wouldn't be afraid, like what you thought of him, like after practice or whatnot. He would just, I mean, if he ripped you one at practice, he would just go in the next day and just smile at you and be like, "Hey, what's up, Ricky? How you doing?" And you're just kind of like, "Yo, yesterday you ripped my ass at practice in front of everybody." But and then Coach Taggart took a different approach. He was more naive, but when he wanted to get mad, he would. But I love them both, and they've had a huge impact on me as well because I got Coach Fisher for 2 years and Coach Taggart for 2 years, but. Yeah, they were both awesome guys.
Yeah, so you ended up finishing your career fifth all-time scoring at Florida State with 329 total points scored. What does it mean to you to have this record and know that your name is forever a part of Florida State history?
Dude, man, it's awesome. It's awesome to be up there with ranked with everybody as a fifth all-time leading scorer because I know how prestigious Florida State is. And, you know, just to have such an impact like that on a university like that with all its history and all the accolades that Florida State has had in its past, it's an honor, you know, and I'm happy to be a part of it, and I'm happy to be an alum of Florida State.
You know, I'm glad you talked about how many good kickers and different players we've had through our history, because you and your brother are up there, but we've had some good ones like Dustin Hopkins, and then you have, you know, Janikowski, like great guys. So when you put yourself in that kind of spot to be compared to those players, I mean, your point after touchdown percentage was .982. Dude, you didn't fucking miss those ever. So, you know, when you first came to Florida State and knowing that your brother had such a good, successful career here, did you ever feel pressured by that or that you're almost kicking in a shadow and you had to prove yourself? What was your mindset coming into Florida State following that?
Yeah. No, I knew that pressure was going to be there. And yeah, I did feel it. I did feel it sometimes, but I would work on trying to block it out and trying to know that anywhere I went, if I ended up going to Auburn or another school, I would still have that pressure. You know, it's not like Roberto would like just all of a sudden not be my brother. So I knew what expectations came with that. But yeah, man, like I said, I tried to block it out and just focus on my career and my path. Yeah.
Yeah, man. So going off of that, we're super glad you didn't go to Auburn because FSU by far has the swaggiest jerseys in the nation. Talk about the jerseys, man, for a second, because it seems like whenever you run out there with the jerseys, you got the spears on the side and everything. It's like, damn, bro, we may lose, but we looking good while we do.
Facts, bro. No, man, Florida State, in my opinion, bro, they have the drippiest uniforms. We have the drippiest uniforms in college football.
By far.
And by far. And I think I was able to wear the alternate blacks twice, two or three times, bro. And I had to snag it when I left. I was like, bro, I got to give me this one. So, bro, I took it back home. And I think I got the helmet too, bro. But, dude, definitely for recruits as well, for recruiting, those uniforms go crazy.
I got one question about the uniforms. Last question about the uniforms. There's a rumor that the white helmets exist, but they haven't been worn yet. Is that true?
That's a good question. I have not seen the white helmets in the EQ room, but I heard if we wanted it done, we could have it done. So it's just up to the head coach. So it's up to Coach Norvell now.
Gotcha. Yeah, so obviously you had a really successful college career, set a bunch of records in the ACC. What have you been up to after college, and what does the future hold for you, both in football and off the field?
Yeah. So coming out, dude, last year with COVID, it was horrible, bro, for all of us, not just for kickers, but for any other position, for this whole class. So we didn't end up having a pro day. We couldn't have any private workouts or anything. So I was able to go to Coach Gary's Honors Combine out in Phoenix. He's like a big guru for NFL coordinators and scouts, for specialists. So I ended up finishing top five there, and I was able to qualify for this year's free agent combine, which is March 8th. So I'm up here in Birmingham training with Coach Mike McCabe, one-on-one kicking. And yeah, man, just up here with the other free agent and pro guys. We have a lot of pro punters and kickers and long snappers here. So yeah, man, just hitting it every day in the weight room, getting stronger. You know, my body has transformed since leaving Florida State. And I just finished up this internship as well with I got my bachelor's in international affairs. So I started an internship in August, got that on my resume. But right now, just focused on just training and hitting the weight room hard and focusing on these camps. And I'm also going to hit Nick Novak's free agent combine in San Diego, March 21st. So I'm looking to have a good showing at these two combines and go from there.
Yeah, man. So we are absolutely rooting for you, man. We've seen what you do at Florida State. We know you can do it in the pros also. But going off that, for these younger kickers coming up into college and kind of being like the younger generation, what advice do you have for these young kickers on kind of anything that they can do to work on their game, help their game out a little bit?
Yeah, man. I would say put your all into it, man. Don't focus on other stuff that's not going to get you to where you want to be, like what your friends think, what your family might think, like if you have a girlfriend who's, you know, in your ear all the time. Like if you really want something, if you really want to be the top collegiate kicker, a top pro kicker, man, you got to give this shit your all, bro. You can't be taking days off and, oh, I don't feel like working out, I don't feel like doing this, man. You got to do drill work at night when your competition is going to bed. You got to wake up early in the morning, go grind, get three or four sessions in a day when your competition only is getting one. So, man, I would just be like, and compartmentalize, because that's one thing I wish I did at Florida State with things like partying and just other stuff, man. I just wish that I can't take it back, but all I can do is learn from it. So just compartmentalize your on the field and your work, and then partying, women, family. But you got to give this. It's pedal to the metal with football. If you want to be in the top, like I said, in the top section for college and NFL.
Yeah, man. I'm so glad you mentioned that, because I saw an interview with Hall of Famer Kevin Garnett, and he was talking about when he was on the West Coast, and he would say, you know what, the East Coast is 3 hours ahead of us. Somebody's up when I'm sleeping, and somebody's putting in work while I'm sleeping. So with that being said, he's like, nah, I got to get up 3 hours earlier because I know I'm going to have to match what they do to be able to get that same intensity, that same production, you know? So I'm just glad that you mentioned it's all about the day-to-day grind. It's not just about going out there and hitting a field goal, but what happens behind the scenes for you to be able to produce like that. But Cam, let's hear your question because I'm excited for this part.
All right, so now that we got all the football talk out of the way, we do have to ask, what were your favorite spots when you were here at Tallahassee? Where it's like recess, or I know we used to do the Y bombs at recess. So I mean, what was your favorite memories back at Florida State, though?
Dude, that's a good question. It just depends on what kind of night you want to have. But I gotta say, after a game, bro, especially like in the earlier years when Izzo was still there and all the older guys, man, hitting Ken's. Can't go wrong with the strip. You know, have a rowdy night there.
All you can drink.
All you can drink. Happy hour, bro. You gotta hit pods. You gotta hit third. For sure. Friday nights, bro, you cannot go wrong with recess. Those are definitely my top three.
So when we ask other people, So when we ask other people this question, they always talked about how Coliseum was the place. Were you there when Coliseum was there? Oh, the facial expression. Yeah, talk a little bit about Coliseum, because we weren't there for that, but we hear the stories, man.
Bro, my freshman year, yeah, I was there, bro. Oh my God, it's like walking into all those clubs in one, bro. It feels like it's like a Miami club. It was so huge, bro, and then like. Literally everybody was there Saturday night. So like you didn't even have to worry about, yo, where are you going tonight? Thought about this and that. All roads lead to Cali. See you there.
Exactly, man. I love that. So again, we want to wrap this up. Thank you, Ricky, for hopping on, man. Great to hear your story at FSU, your experiences. But let's do a quick sign off. So Cam, anything that you want to say last?
Yeah, Jay already said it. Thank you, Ricky, for responding to me and like coming on the podcast. It's really great. It's going to help us out a lot. And Go Noles tonight against Miami. Let's get this dub.
Oh, yeah, man. Go Noles. Hey, man, thank y'all for having me on.
All right, so let's throw it to Chad. Chad, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing really else to say. I really appreciate you coming on, really kind of showing us what goes on behind the scenes as a kicker. You know, it's not just hopping on the field every once in a while kicking it. Through the goalpost. So yeah, I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure, people don't understand that a touchdown's 6 points, but an extra point's one to get you to seven, and a field goal is half of a touchdown, you know? So, you know, people they underestimate how much kicking actually matters in the sport of football. But Aaron, let's get your sign off. What's going on, man?
Just wish I was there to experience Coliseum, because it sounds pretty crazy. Wish I could have seen it, but maybe one day it'll reopen. Insane. For now, we got Clyde's. It's all good.
All right, and then Floyd, what's going on, man?
You know, the only thing I wanted to say, when you said Coliseum, his face changed just like Terrence Mann's did. It's like everyone just kind of knows, like, Collie. You know, so that was funny, bro. Yeah.
It went too down to that, bro.
Yeah. All right, and then last but not least, again, Ricky, you the man. Appreciate it hopping on. We're wishing you the best on your endeavors going in. You know, we know you're going to ball out. We don't have to tell you that you're going to. We know it. We've seen your tape. We know how good you are, so – any last words, man?
Hell yeah, man. Nah, thank y'all for having me on. I was glad I could give y'all my insight, and good luck to y'all on this podcast and y'all's future endeavor.
Yeah, absolutely. So just for the listeners, we got Miami at 8:30. Tune into that game. We got money riding on it. So let's get that money, and we'll catch you guys later. Peace.
Very nice to me.
Because you're being naughty, so you're on the naughty list.
No, I'm not. I'm on the good list, actually.
You're not because you ain't being good.